Hey, welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Go!
We are, as always, going through Journey to the West. We are on chapter 70. We have learned that a demon called Jupiter's Rival has kidnapped the Queen of the Scarlet Purple Kingdom and is continuing to kidnap other women every once in a while, and a demon has suddenly showed up, which turns out not to actually be Jupiter's Rival. He identifies himself as Jupiter Rival's vanguard.
Not Jupiter Rival's rival or Jupiter himself.
No.
And the king's menopause has been cured.
So the medical issues have been dealt with. Now we're just dealing with the demon, and I don't wish to dwell on it particularly long, and the novel itself doesn't either, but, like, you know, going to be touching more on the whole kidnapping and very strong implications of rape and femicide stuff happening here.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's the vanguard is demanding two more women to take away. He says this is to serve the kidnapped queen. He says that they're to serve, to act as like serving women for the kidnapped queen consort.
The hostage needs a hostage.
Yeah. So the only name, I kind of skipped over this in the last chapter, but the only name she is given is Lady Golden Sage Palace. It's like a metonym, because it's the Golden Sage Palace is the palace that she lives in, as opposed to like there's also the Jade Sage Palace and the Silver Sage Palace, where the king's kind of two other lesser concubines live.
Fair.
So she's the important one, and she lives in the Golden Sage Palace, and she just gets called like Lady Golden Sage.
Gold medal. And in relation to your husband's property portfolio, that's real nice. Lady Landlord's nicest property.
So Wukong fights off the demon. He breaks his lance. The vanguard runs away. And Wukong tells everyone hiding in the bunkers, come out. Demon's gone. You're safe. And the king hands him a goblet of wine in thanks. But then an official runs in and announces that the Western Gate is on fire.
Fuck.
And, yeah. Wukong throws the goblet into the air, and the king thinks that Wukong is pissed off at him for, like, poor etiquette, for not, like, serving him the wine properly, and he apologizes. But then another official runs in and says that there was, like, a sudden shower of rain that smelled like wine, and it put out the fire at the gate, and everything's fine now. So Wukong was actually just, like, putting out the fire by throwing it. He wasn't angry.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be quite the thing to pick up on at that moment in time. Like, yeah, two women have been, or might be, mortgaged to the evil demon king, but Jesus, you can't serve a Merlot in this glass. It's unconscionable.
Yeah, Wukong would do that, though.
He would, actually. That would be very on brand for him. Song Wu Karen.
So Wukong asks the king where Jupiter's rival's lair is, and the king says it's a 50 days ride due south, maybe 3,000 li, give or take. Which is not a, like, 1,500 kilometers, not a big deal for Wukong. He flies over there. But he hits like a wall of fire and smoke, and like a sudden sandstorm, And some of the sand blows up his nose and it makes starts making him sneeze. So he shoves two pebbles up his nostrils to block them and just flies on through the flames. But everything, it suddenly vanishes. Everything is calm. Everything is clear.
I'm just wondering that that kingdom is that where the Scarlet Purple Kingdom is 1500 miles away.
Yeah.
What's so special about the women from this kingdom that you're going to travel 1500 miles? Like, does he have local suppliers as well, or is this, it just doesn't seem efficient to me.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it, but like for all these magic ridiculous people, that's not a big deal at all. They can all just fly. So
I hadn't really thought of that,
but it's a good point.
Rich people flying to Rome to pick up some specific skincare bullshit or something.
I mean, don't shit
but
where
then
you
again what yeah, don't shit where you eat. That's
don't
a very
shit
good
where
point.
You if you're antagonizing a kingdom, might as well be a kingdom that's 50 days right away.
So he's a good neighbor, a terrible person, good neighbor.
It was kind of like that with Lady Ironfan as well, because she was getting tribute from the like people around the Flame Mountain to help for them to for her to like deal with the flame, which was nowhere near where she actually was.
It might just be good etiquette.
Hmm.
You know, just leave your neighbors alone. Be careful with the community. Hey, yuck.
Yeah, and like if I remember correctly, like when again just the Lady Ironfan thing, I think Wukong like meets a local when he's looking for her, just like out gathering wood or something. He asks about her, and he's just like, "Oh yeah, she just lives up here. Whatever, she's grand.
Hmm.
No problems with the locals." It seems like
yeah, that's just your one. A lot of house guests. We don't ask questions. We investigate the people who are 1500 kilometers away.
Yeah. So Wukong tries to get his bearings and he hears a gong banging. He goes to have a look and he sees a messenger out for delivery. It's like a monster carrying a big yellow banner and carrying a document bag.
Monster post.
Yeah, monster post. He overhears the monster conveniently explaining his entire mission and all the context behind it out loud to himself for no reason.
Of course.
Which is handy.
Yeah. It's a long road. You want. Sometimes you're the best company, you know? Or the only company. Who has more in common with you, really?
So what's going on is Jupiter's rival kidnapped Golden Sage 3 years ago, but he has not been able to like physically touch her because an immortal gave her a gift of a robe that caused needles to grow across her entire body.
Wow.
So he has apparently been having pairs of women kidnapped, quote unquote, as substitutes, and those women keep dying, which is why they've been back several times for more kidnapping. The details of this are not elaborated on, and I don't particularly want to dwell on them.
Okay, so maybe the local supplies, but and exhausted you. Oh god. Oh god.
So
moving swiftly on.
Yeah, because Wukong stopped the last kidnapping, JR is sending a declaration of war to the Scarlet Purple Kingdom. I'm calling him JR now.
Yeah. I shot JR.
So the monster comments again out loud to himself that he hopes that the Scarlet Purple Kingdom surrenders, because if they don't, JR is just going to massacre the shit out of them very easily. It won't be any problem. And he's just kind of, he says he worries that our actions would be intolerable to heaven. He just doesn't want to be involved in that kind of a massacre.
I mean, you hit the bricks, friend.
So,
quit.
Yeah.
Real
you're already a messenger. You're like walking out of the borders already. You're like leaving. You're not going to be guarded, so you could just keep going.
There's a moral implication in walking away rather than, you know, give someone the information to solve the problem, to stop the massacre. Because if you're telling the entire plan to yourself aloud in a public place, or maybe that's a tactic. Maybe he's hoping someone will hear. I don't know.
Yeah.
He does just not seem like the most qualified person to solve the problem, but maybe this is, you know, the postman's moment to shine. And
So Wukong thinks to himself, even a monster can be a good man. He doesn't want to go against the will of heaven. And then he smashes his head in.
You don't want to go against the will of heaven? Well, you can explain it to them yourself.
Yeah, it's an odd. I did skip a little bit for comedic effect. Wukong goes to talk to him a little bit briefly, but Wukong just goes in a matter of moments from being like, oh yeah, this even a monster can be a good person, to just killing this guy.
Oh god.
But yeah.
Rod first, questions later.
Yeah. So Wukong intends on impersonating the monster, but realizes he didn't ask him his name. But thankfully he has ID on him.
Great. Does he also have a passport?
He has a gold-plated nameplate.
Okay. He's not just getting a stamp every time he kidnaps people.
No, it would be difficult for a metal nameplate. I guess you could still stamp it. It would just...
You could engrave it.
Yeah, just getting it engraved every time you go through the airport.
Jesus, these queues.
Yeah, so apparently his name is Going and Coming.
It's what?
It's Going and Coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Wukong quips to himself, my rod has rendered him going without coming.
I mean, that's not something I would be boasting about, Wukong. Maybe you're not wielding your rod correctly. It's not, you know, it's not the size of the boat, it's the motion of the ocean. You know what I mean?
you know how it can be sometimes, you know, SSRIs and stuff.
Yeah, true that, too. I mean, he didn't seem like... I could see him being depressed. It's a very common thing. It's, you know, oh, the company I work for massacres babies, so and I feel sad about it. It's like, yeah, have some Prozac. Meds work. Very pro meds.
So Wukong heads back to the Scarlet Purple Kingdom, dragging Going and Coming's corpse with him.
Sorry.
You okay?
It's a dark story. I'm looking for the levity. A wank outside the city walls. I don't know. He's dragging Going and Coming with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws the body down in front of the other pilgrims. And when Baji sees it, he immediately attacks it with his rake. He's like, ah, I got him! And Wukong's like, Baji, he doesn't have a fucking head. He doesn't have a head. And Baji's like, oh, okay, I was wondering why he didn't move when I hit him. That makes sense.
Has the head pretty, no complaints. Maybe if he had a head, sorry.
If he got to, if he had a better head, yeah.
If he had better head.
So yeah, Wukong gives Jaor's declaration of war that he stole to Tripitaka, and he tells him not to let the king see this, just keep a hold of this for the moment. And then he goes to show off the monster he killed to the king. And the king tries to give him more wine, and Wukong's like, no, I'm grand, it's fine. But he does ask the king for some like memento or keepsake or something of Golden Sage so he can prove to her that he was sent by her husband. And the king gives Wukong a pair of golden bracelets belonging to her.
A rare example of thinking ahead. Is he planning to nick these bracelets?
No, he's not planning on stealing the bracelets.
I'm just looking, it's just uncharacteristic is all.
So yeah, he flies back to the Unicorn Mountain, and he sees this time a big army of 500 monster soldiers guarding the cave. And we get a little poem like we have with the dragon palaces before, of all the different like animal soldiers. So
But the
there's the
magic is gone because they're just some guys.
Okay, but there's I'm gonna list them out anyway. There's
Okay.
tiger generals,
Some guy.
there's bear captains,
Also just some guy.
leopard warriors,
That one's actually a leopard.
striped cat marshals,
Just one. Just some guy.
gray wolves,
Just some guy.
brown elephants, and sly hares.
Nobody knows where they came from. We're not even sure they're sentient.
Clever deer,
Some guy.
long snakes, huge serpents,
His name's Martin.
and the chimpanzee who understands human speech leads the troops.
That one sounds like he's actually a chimpanzee.
So Wukong shapeshifts into going and coming and approaches from the road, and when Jupiter's rival tries to talk to him, first he ignores him, or Wukong ignores him, and he pretends to be pissed off. So he's like, he starts claiming that the Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet Kingdom is getting ready for war. And the king almost had him executed when he tried to deliver Jupiter's rival's message, until the king's ministers reminded him not to shoot the messenger. And instead the entire army caned him 30 times.
Elaborate.
Yeah, this is an overly detailed lie, but
Yeah.
JR asks him how big the army is, and Wukong is like, there's too many to count, it's just rows after rows of horses and men armed to the teeth. It's very scary. You should be very, very scared.
Yeah, all these giant buff men who will cane you without a
Yeah.
moment's thought.
Yeah,
Excuse me a moment, I must go outside
JR
the
doesn't give a shit. He doesn't care about like mortal human army. He has magic fire to deal with that. It's not going to be any issue. But he says Golden Sage is really worried about him killing her husband and her massacring her entire kingdom. So he tells Going and Coming to go tell her that the Scarlet Purple Kingdom is dead, is that they're going to wipe us out, we're fucked. Your husband's going to kill me. We don't stand a chance. That'll cheer her up. A weird, weird thing to be doing.
Like what's the end goal here? She's gonna be so cheered up that she'll forget to put on her special anti-rape rope, or
I don't. Yeah, I he's just trying to cheer her up, I guess. Not with no. Like, I feel like this is a bad long-term plan, because when you actually do kill her husband and massacre her entire country, she's probably going to be even more upset.
Yeah. You're just kicking the can down the road. It's not yeah, he's on his way to kill me soon, sweetheart. You know, soon. More tea.
Yeah.
I'm far less concerned about this than I should be. Let's not read too much into that.
Maybe he's hoping to get like a pity fuck of like, oh, your husband's gotta come, he's gotta kill me. I've only one night left on this earth. I don't know.
Men. Demons. Same. Anyway.
Anyway, so Rakong goes to Golden Sage's room and says, hey, and she gets offended at the kind of lack in respect and deference, and she's getting here. You know, I was whole fucking queen of a kingdom. Who are you, you rustic boor? Blah, blah. But Rakong tells her that he has a private word for her from the king of the Scarlet Purple Kingdom, and she's like, oh, okay, no, cool. She orders all the, there's like vixen and doe spirits attending her, and she tells them to get out so they can talk in private, which they do. She apparently does have, like, even if she's kidnapped, she has like some degree of authority in her private rooms, at least.
Yeah, it seems like the whole regal, this is my queen fantasy is part of the whole deal.
Yikes. Oh yeah, Jupiter's rival like wants a queen as part of this whole thing, and yeah, so he has given her servants and is trying to pretend he is showing her respect while having kidnapped her, kind of thing. As part of that. Yeah, so Rakong turns back into his true form, and he tells her the full story. He shows her the bracelets. He's like, look, I got these from your husband. This is why I'm on this mission, blah, blah, blah. And he asks her about the magic fire, smoke, and sand that he saw when he came here. And Jupiter's rival also made a comment about having magic fire earlier. And she explains that Jor has three magic bells that summon the fire, smoke, and sand. And the sand is also incredibly poisonous. It'll kill a normal person dead straight away, which is why it made Wukong mildly uncomfortable and made him sneeze a few times when he was in. Because he's
got magic A fever.
He's however many fucking times he's immortal, whatever.
Quadruple, quintuple, immortal.
Yeah. So they'll be hard to get off him, though, as he keeps them tied to his waist at all times. So Wukong.
Oh no.
So Wukong.
Oh no.
Has a plan. He asks her to seduce him.
Oh no.
To seduce Jor and get the bells off him so Wukong can steal them, kill him, rescue her, and reunite her with her husband. And she agrees to this. So Wukong turns back into Going and Coming and tells Jor that Golden Sage wants to talk to him. He says that I told her that the king of the Scarlet Purple Kingdom doesn't want her anymore, and he's actually taken a new queen. And now she wants you instead, because her king has rejected her now.
Oof.
And he buys this. And he kind of goes to her, and he's like fucking stoked about this. But then she is like, well, I've been standoffish because you haven't really been treating me like a wife and like a queen. Because back in the Scarlet Purple Kingdom, the king gave me his like most precious treasures to keep and watch over as my duty as queen. But I haven't seen any treasure here at all. I don't even know if you have any. I've heard something about you've some special bells or something. What if you give me those and I'll watch over them, and then it'll be more like I'm actually your queen. And he's like, yeah, sure, grant.
He's horny enough to fall for it.
Yep,
Oh no.
absolutely. Takes them off. Probably doesn't hurt the fact that getting them off involves him stripping a bunch of clothes in front of her, to be honest.
Right.
Takes the bells, gives them to her. And so to keep him distracted, she orders drinks for her and JR and keeps flirting with him, getting him drunk, while Wukong steals the bells and sneaks out. And
I mean, quick thinking on her part.
so on getting out of the palace, Wukong immediately just gets curious about the bells, takes them out, pulls out the cotton, stuffing them up to test them, which immediately just causes huge pillars of fire and smoke and sand to shoot everywhere, alerting absolutely everyone.
Of
JR
course.
rushes out to look, and Wukong just runs off and drops the bells.
Dude.
And he turns into a fly to hide from all of the minions who are now blocking all the ways out.
That's Baji style shit, man. Just like lack of impulse control. That's what it is. He used up all his impulse control earlier, planning ahead. You gotta budget that.
He ran out of I don't not quite the same thing as spoons. He ran out of I don't know, we
Don't
say
fuck
forks.
aroundery. He ran out of forks. Yeah,
Sure.
he has no more forks to give.
He cannot give a fork. And that is the end of chapter 70. So there's one more chapter to resolve this issue.
Just get your bells back. All the bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles. So what do you reckon? I don't know, do you want to take a guess as to Jupiter's Rival's backstory, what he's going to turn out to be?
Oh, definitely someone Wukong has fucked over in the past and then forgotten about, because there are so many of those people. He probably owes him like money, or got his sister's albatross killed, or
Do you want to guess as to what kind of animal he is?
I'm gonna go with the stoat.
A stoat,
Yeah.
a little asog.
A weasel, maybe. Actually, yeah, a weasel. I don't want to associate a sog with the these type of people.
Think
Is the
I've said
cat
I.
here? I have not seen the
Oh,
cat.
the cat is here. I think I have said this before on the podcast, but I've said my cat's name is Asog. I think I've explained before that that's the Irish word for stoat. If I haven't, that's what it means.
There's a real long explanation for that particular Celtic in joke.
Yeah, it's a joke about legal technicalities.
Best kind of joke, the best kind of technicality. People apparently still keep stoats as pets.
I'm sure people keep everything and anything as pets.
You cannot have a pet stoat in Ireland. They're very difficult to take care of.
As in, it's illegal.
Yes, it is illegal to have a pet stoat in Ireland
Okay.
or and the USA. But they're oh my God, I'm looking at some of them and they're so
Oh,
adorable.
yeah, they're very cute.
Animals are not here for your entertainment, and keeping a stoat in captivity is probably immoral, but they're so cute.
Yes.
Ah, look at them. Ah,
Yeah,
they just
anyway.
pop up. They're just like little beep.
Anyway, we have Patreon, we have Twitter accounts, we've li links to those. I set up a Mastodon account for the podcast too, because Twitter is increasingly
Twitter's
just falling
evil.
apart more and more every day. Also evil, yes. So you can also find an account for the podcast on mastodon.ie/monkeykingpod. And then I've said the other links a million times before. If you haven't followed them by now, you're probably not going to.
Stoats can kill cats also.
Oh, really? Well, I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, they're vicious little things. They're very small though.
They're very small. And they're so cute, but they're vicious and you shouldn't keep them as
Yeah, they're
pets.
predators, like they're.
And adorable.
I would have assumed that the cat was more a danger to the stoat than the other way around.
No, apparently they can take them down. Anyway, yep.
Yeah, whatever. Bye. See you next time.
Bye.